Hello, you beautiful, beautiful people. How's it going? Before I go on, I need to make an apology because I was wrong. Now, this is a very hard pill to swallow to let you all know that I've came up with some information that wasn't right. But yesterday I said about the government trying to change the consent law. And I've since then went and done some research of my own and figured out that I was totally wrong. There was a Whitehall study, a report that the Guardian had got like 7 years ago, is what I can find, and it was done in 1979, and they were talking about doing it then. So I was wrong. I am sorry for giving you false information. Yeah, don't take everything that I say is gospel. I think I'm just gonna start saying in my opinion all the time, because then I'm not gonna get myself into trouble. But yeah, I apologize. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Sometimes I hear stuff that you don't. Well, I'm quite glad that it's not true, actually, because that would be absolutely disgusting. It would be horrible. That's true. But the BBC are still hiding stuff with that Jimmy Savile report, where I think they're going to be releasing, what is it, like 95% of it. Now, again, this is just my opinion. I do not know because I haven't went and looked this kind of stuff up, but from what I've been hearing, they're going to be releasing 95% of this report. But then the last 5% is the names of the people who are still working in the BBC. So they're still protecting nonces and paedophiles. And I also think the way that our justice system, and I definitely know from up here in Aberdeen that there has been paedophiles who have been caught with indecent images and they're back out walking the streets, and they are, yeah. Whereas if you got caught for selling a bit of weed or something like that, you would still be in jail. So I think we really need to look into our justice system of how we deal with these paedophiles, because it is an absolute disgrace. But yeah, I was wrong, so I'm sorry. Please, as I said, don't take my word as gospel. I'm just an idiot from Aberdeen who spouts his mouth off, basically. I've done quite a bit of research today. I went and had a look at the FBI vaults, and there's loads of stuff in there as well. But I need to. I think I need to keep on reading about that, because yeah, there's far too much stuff in. But if you want to go and have a look at yourself, it's the FBI vault. So the web page is vault.fbi.gov, and you can go and have a look, and they've got all the they've got loads of stuff. I'm on this website just now, so they've got administrative policy procedures, anti-war bureau personnel, civil rights, counter-terrorism, foreign counterintelligence, frequently requested fugitives, gangs, extremist groups, gangster era, miscellaneous organizations, organized crime, political figures, events. Popular culture, public corruption, Supreme Court, unexplained phenomenon, World War II, and violent crime. But I've found this COINTELPRO, and the FBI began the COINTELPRO, short for Counterintelligence Program, in 1956 to disrupt the activities of the Communist Party of the United States. In the 1960s, it was expanded to include number of other domestic groups such as the Ku Klux Klan, the Social Workers, the Socialist Workers Party, and the Black Panther Party. Our all call to pro operations were ended in 1971, although limited in scope. About 0.2% of FBI's workload over a 15-year period, COINTELPRO was later rightfully criticized by Congress and the American people for for doing something to the First Amendment of rights and for other reasons. So it's got like the white hate groups, it's got the new left, it's got Puerto Rican groups, it's got black extremists, hoodwink, Cuba, Socialist Workers Party, and espionage programs. So I am going to go and read that, but the day was getting on a bit, so I wanted to get the podcast done before I started yawning down the thing at you, like I normally do. So I will have a look into this. I'll see if I can find anything. There's loads of stuff. I think I went and had a look in the Cuba one, and there's like 61 pages of the documents and everything like that. So I started having a quick read through it, but yeah, there's loads of stuff there. So I want to go and have a look at that before I start spouting my mouth off again and getting myself in trouble. Sorry, I'm just gonna have a drink of my coffee. Sorry about that. I moved the microphone away, so hopefully you didn't hear me glugging down my coffee. But yeah, I want to properly have a look at this before I start spouting my mouth off and I get myself in trouble. So, in my opinion, is what will be getting used a hell of a lot more now. But yeah, I also want to have. Right, I've got something up about the 12 laws of the universe. And also, Jason messaged me again today. It's really weird, actually, Jason, because when you talk to me, like he sends me Snapchat audio, and I can hear myself in the background while he's talking to me, and it's quite a weird experience of hearing myself while you're talking. It's it's a weird one, but yeah, Jason was listening, and he came up with the fact as well that with the Twin Towers, that steel melts at 2,777 degrees Fahrenheit, and for us Brits, that's 1,525 degrees C. But jet fuel only burns at 1,517 degrees Fahrenheit and 825 degrees C. So how did the fuel jet melt the steel girders? And as I said, have a look at like controlled explosions, and then have a look at the way that the Twin Towers came down, because they're exactly the same. And I think there was a whole load of witnesses as well that claimed that they heard like a few bang, like bangs going off in the building shaking, and then it came down like a controlled explosion. But yeah, like this is just in my opinion and from what I've seen as well. Did you also know the what was it? The oh God, what's his name? Just a second. I've got the laptop here right in front of me. I will go and look this up. What is his name? Michael Moore. So he done the Bowling for Columbine. Now he has got another movie. Let's go and have a look. Michael Moore. Now he had a movie about the Twin Towers, and on that documentary, he said that the. So it was Fahrenheit 9/11, and it was about Michael Moore done it about the Twin Towers, and he said that there was one flight that got let out of New York on the day when they grounded all the flights, and that was to get the bin Ladens out of America, basically. Now again, this is just what I've seen. I haven't done much. Well, I mean, I've done some research about the Twin Towers. And then I also want to find that document on the Cuba thing as well, where it said that they were going to shoot down planes, or they were going to make it look like the Cubans had done something so that they could go into war, because I think then that would quite back the fact that the Americans will do anything to make it look like someone else done it, to go and start wars, or to make more money and all that kind of, like it's mental. But again, this is my opinion. I have not done the research into this. I want to do the research. I will be doing the research, and I will come back to you on this. But I've went and done the research of steel melting at 1,525 degrees C, but the jet fuel only burns at 825 degrees C. So I don't understand how they think. Also, I've seen a couple of tests done where they've rammed a plane into a building, basically, like it just a plane, and that plane didn't go through the building. It just disintegrated, basically. It's a funny one, and I apologize if anyone knows anyone who was on those planes or knows anybody who died in the Twin Towers. I it's horrible. I feel for those people, but I'm just trying to make you aware that there is some horrible, horrible people at the top end of people that we can't really trust, because this is the type of things that they are doing. Now, I understand that us as Brits, we're not as bad as the Americans. We haven't got like the FBI and all that kind of stuff, and we don't put as many of the bad things in our food as the Americans do. Like, I was watching that girl on TikTok, and she's an American from Britain. No, she's American staying in Britain, and she talks quite a lot about the stuff that you get over in America. And she showed what was happening, like the difference between our McDonald's chips and the Americans, what they've all got in it. And there's a whole load of other crap that just shouldn't be in their chips. I don't know whether I mentioned it on here, but the potatoes that they use, that McDonald's use over in America, that the farmers spray it with this chemical, and then they need to stay in their house for 2 weeks because it's that deadly. So, us as Britons, like in Britain, we seem to be doing a lot better, but I cannot trust the government. I think that there's. Well, I mean, look at the racist stuff right now that's just going on. But Boris Johnson said that the people who were taking the knee before the football match, that you could boo them. So, and then coming out and saying that it's an absolute disgrace that these people are being racist and stuff like that. But you said it was all right to boo them. So you're a racist as well. I've just got strange feelings about the Tory government, which I think quite a lot of us all do, that they haven't got our best interest at heart in the UK. It's all about making money. Well, I mean, look at the pandemic when they messed up the PPE because they were selling it to their Tory mates, and they were making wads of money. And I mean, look at the way that what the kids were getting for their meals from the Tory government. You were meant to be getting a supplied pack through the pandemic with food and stuff like that, and it was meant to be, what was it? Let's go and check this out before I make another mistake. I don't even know how to search this. I'm gonna need to get someone to come and have a look. But yeah, I think it was like 25 quid or something like that they were getting. It was like a hamper that you were getting, and the hamper that you were getting from the government was an absolute joke. Yeah, so it was 30 quid that you were getting, or like a £30 hamper, and it wasn't even 30 pounds worth of food. It was just like a couple of like a banana and stuff like that. It was absolutely, it was a disgrace. And I think it's an absolute disgrace as well that kind of like all this racist stuff that's going on, but then Marcus Rashford was the one who was helping the kids through the pandemic, and then he missed a penalty, and now you've got the minority of English fans calling him all those racist hate. Now, I understand that it's the minority. It's not the majority of football fans, because I'm a football fan and I'm definitely not racist, but you definitely get it at football, and it's time to start targeting those people. Also, what an absolute disgrace the English were leaving Trafalgar Square like that. You know, like when the Scots went down, we were all out there tidying up the next day, like showing respect for the place that you're at. You know, like if you make a mess, then tidy it up. You know, like responsible human beings, and the state that they had left at, and I mean, it's just an absolute disgrace. And I understand it's not every football fan, but these are the people that are ruining it for the rest of us. So there definitely needs to be bans, or you know, like if you know someone like that, or you know, like they work for you, or that's your father, or kind of like that's your brother and stuff, then something really needs to be getting done there. If they are an employee of yours, then sack them. We can't in 2021, when we are still going on about racism and all that kind of stuff, it is an absolute joke. Like, I mean, over in America with that, you know, like the guy getting strangled with the police on his neck and everything like that. Now, that was an absolute disgrace as well, and that shouldn't be happening. And you can see it quite a lot over there that it's very much that as soon as there's a black man instead of a, you know, was there not a story not that long ago where there was two white people who were shooting up a neighborhood, and the way that the cops acted there was completely different of how they would react if that was two black people. Like, I think they didn't walk away. Like, I mean, they got busted and stuff like that, but the way that the cops were treating them was completely different. And I listened to a Joe Rogan podcast not that long ago, and it was what was it? It was about Baltimore, I think, and it was a police officer from Baltimore, and he said that it's written in the deeds of the houses that a black person cannot buy, or a different race cannot buy a house in certain areas. And so even if you're a doctor and stuff like that, you can only live in like the rough areas. like, what an odd, like, how can you base your like, how can you base like buying houses on that kind of stuff? Is like, it just really needs looked into. I also saw quite a funny TikTok that was talking about that Grand Theft Auto has got a better healthcare system than America, because when you die or you're getting low in health, you know, like, you'll get dropped off at a hospital and they'll take like 5% of your coins or something like that, whereas over in America, you'll get taken to a hospital and then you'll get sued for all your money basically, and it's an absolute disgrace. So here we go. So this says a bag for 10 days. So this is back to the free school meals, and she says it's two jacket potatoes with beans, eight single cheese sandwiches, 2 days carrot, 3 days apples, 2 days sorine, and 3 days frubes. Spare pasta and tomato. Will need mayo for pasta salad. Issued instead of £30 vouchers. I could do more with £30, to be honest. And then yeah, and then she gives like a photo. Now this is what the Tories were giving out with the £30, and there's absolutely no way that that cost £30. They were just stealing money left, right, and centre, and it's an absolute disgrace. If you voted in those Tory people, then you should really be ashamed of yourself. Really be ashamed of yourself. Because what an absolute disgrace. Like, total the disgrace. It's also funny as well how the restrictions down in England are being lifted for the COVID, but 3 days before they go away on holiday, isn't it? But again, this is just my opinion, remember. But yeah, it just an absolute disgrace. I really do think that they have the whole handling of this pandemic, the Tories have done an absolute shambolic way of dealing with it. And I mean, you're getting some people being like, yeah, well, it doesn't matter what government's in, it would be really bad anyway because no one's ever done this and stuff. But it's not, it's like, look at New Zealand, look at Australia, where they just closed their borders. And do you know why we didn't close our borders? Just a second, I better go and get the, because it's our medicine and our food. There's a percentage of it. I will go and find out the percentage of it. So we'll let that load up because I want to find out the percentage. So there you go, 55% of our food comes in from overseas, and that's the reason why our borders didn't get closed. Because 55% of our food. And again, we've got the Tories to thank for that as well, with Thatcher and yeah, again, making Great Britain not very great. And it's also our medicine as well. Let's have a look at that. I think this is quite high as well, actually. This is a lot better with a laptop here. I can't wait to get my own laptop so that we can sit here. I need to get someone who's a better searcher than I am to do these type of things, to see if I'm talking pish or they talking pish. This laptop's slow as anything as well, like. Excuse me. So it's not really giving me a percentage here because I'm not very good at searching this. I also I'm very aware that I just want to leave. There's no talking here while you guys are listening to the podcast. But from what I heard, I think, in my opinion, I think it was something as high as 75% of our medicine comes from overseas as well. So that's 55% of our food and 75% of our medicine. And that's the whole reason why our borders couldn't get closed, which is a disgrace. Because we could have been like New Zealand, or we could have been like Australia, where we just closed our borders. Just completely and utterly closed our borders, and then we wouldn't have been having to, well, yeah, we probably wouldn't be as bad as we were while Boris Johnson is telling us that people are gonna die. But that's fine because his Tory pals have made wads and wads of money off of feeding kids like absolutely disgrace off of 30 quid. I'm gonna take another drink of my coffee. But yeah, we should be ashamed of the Tory government, should be ashamed of them for what they've done. And is there not bills being passed where they're trying to privatize the NHS? And I mean, you wouldn't put it past them, like what they've done in the previous, where they've privatized the, well, I mean, all of our steel. I mean, I always laughed when Margaret Thatcher died, and Frankie Boyle done a joke. And where they're not going to be spending like £1 million on our funeral, and he said that kind of like you could give that £1 million to everybody in Scotland, and we'll dig a hole big enough that we'll hand it over to Satan himself. And because of what she done to this country, the fact that we were all making our own stuff, and yeah, I mean, all right, it might have been more expensive, but it was homegrown produce, was it? And now we've got, well, now you don't even know where most of your stuff's coming in from. I mean, you can look at the, but again, with my opinion, I mean, you can look at the packet and everything, but yeah, 55% of our food coming from overseas is pretty mental. And I mean, I understand that that might be fruit and stuff that just doesn't grow here in Britain, but. But yeah, when you hit a pandemic and you can't close off your borders, even though we're an island, then it's a bit of a joke. A bit of a joke. Right, let's get on to the 12 laws of the universe. Now I've got something here to read. I'm gonna read it offline. So hopefully there's no difficult words that I can't pronounce. Because it could be quite bad. But there is 12 universal laws. So what are the 12 universal laws and where do they come from? So the 12 laws are thought to be intrinsic and changing laws of our universe. The ancient cultures have always intuitively known. The laws are often associated with I even went on how to look how to pronounce this word. Ho'oponono, a meditation for freedom originating in ancient Hawaii culture. Some of the laws, however, are also attributed to Hermetic philosophy, going back to ancient Egypt. The list of the ancient laws of wisdom withstood the test of time, as both Kaiser Kumar and plenty of others around the world still work with them today. All the laws are about mastering your life with love and joy, Kaiser explains. Here's an introduction to the themes and underpinnings of each. So, number one, the law of divine oneness. The first and most foundational law of the universe is the law of divine oneness. God save the stupid newsletter things just popped up while I was reading. Which highlights the interconnectedness of all things. It says that beyond our senses, every thought, action, and event is in some way connected to anything and everything else. Kaiser notes this one can come off a bit heady, but applying it in real life entails being compassionate with others. We are all created from divine source. With this in mind, we are all part of the same. She recommends working this law by asking questions like, how can I show more compassion and acceptance towards those I don't understand? Or what would love do? Now, I struggle with that one when you get poked and prodded, and like I try to be a lot better, not argue with people, but then when you get poked and prodded for weeks on end, then it can be tough. It can be really tough. But I think we also need to remember that people act the way that they do because of childhood trauma that they haven't yet dealt with in their lives. So we just need to be more compassionate with people. So, number two, the law of vibration. At a microscopic level, everything is in a constant motion, vibrating at a specific frequency. This applies to matter, but also one's personal frequency as well. This law says that a vibrational frequency can inform our lived experiences. For example, you may be able to receive money, but perhaps you cannot hold on to it, Kumar notes, because vibrationally, you could be operating on a lower level. If you feel the need to evaluate your frequency, good vibes, anyone. There are a lot of great practices to do, so including yoga, sound bathing, and chakra work. Now, also, the music that we listen to that's on the radio is at a certain frequency that's meant to be bad for us. It's meant to lower our vibrations. So start having to listen to higher vibrational music and see what happens. So the law of correspondence. This law states that patterns repeat throughout the universe, and on a personal level, our reality is a mirror of what's happening inside us at that moment. Think as above, so below, as within, so without. Kaiser's mantra for this law: it's happening for you, not to you. If our life is chaotic and fearful, she says, it's because there is chaos and fear within. If our life seems calm and grounded, it is because we feel peace within. In any troubling situation, she suggests asking what the situation can show you about yourself and what requires healing within. The law of attraction. I think quite a lot of people have heard the law of attraction. Undoubtedly, the most talked about universal law, the law of attraction, is often used for manifestation. It says that like attracts like. And you get what you focus on. Not only that, but you have to believe what you're seeking is possible to obtain. It is similar to the law of vibration in this way. It's important to learn how to vibrate at a level that attracts what you are seeking. If you want love but do not give love, for example, you're sending the universe a message about your priorities. If you repeat an affirmation but don't believe what you're saying, it's useless. When we focus on what we want versus what we don't want, it will show up in our life. So, the law of inspired action. Closely related to the law of attraction, the law of inspired action is all about taking those real actionable steps to invite what we want into our lives. Often the inspiration comes from within. Inspired action is that gentle, internal nudge, Kumar says. It's not always a plan of action. She adds that practicing this law is all about slowing down, getting quiet, and creating space for internal guidance. When we let go of our need to arrange and control how things will work out and are instead open to all possibilities, it makes room for new ways of achieving our goals that we might not have considered otherwise. So there is no good or bad situation. You put the good or bad onto it. So we just need to learn that if things are happening, then they're happening for a reason, and it's normally to test us into seeing how we're gonna move on. So the law of preputial transmission of energy. This law states that on an energetic level, everything in the universe is constantly evolving and fluctuating. Every action is preceded by a thought, with thoughts themselves having the power to eventually manifest into our physical reality. Have you ever been around a negative person and felt your own positivity depleting? That's one example, but it can also work the other way around. High frequencies transmute lower ones when applied with intention. Knowing this, we can actively seek to uplift negative energy around us with our thoughts and actions. Now, I've definitely been around negative people my life, and you definitely notice a massive difference where you're just all being negative. I think I've spoke about this on the podcast before, where no wonder all that crap was happening in my life, because I just constantly was thinking negatively about the whole situation all the time, and me and my pals were being negative to each other. And now that we've changed that around, it's all just positive. We big each other up, we praise each other, and it's definitely a lot nicer than just talking to each other like absolute dicks all the time, basically. So the law of cause and effect. Relatively straightforward, this law highlights the direct relation between actions and events. What's important to note here, according to Kumar, is we often can't see the effects right away, but they will come back around. What you put out there may not come back to you in that moment, but the vibration, that energy you put out there, has a ripple effect. If you're coming from a place of anger and resentment, if you put that energy out there, you'll eventually be affected as a result. And that's exactly what I was talking about, just the being negative and then negative crap happening to you all the time because you're putting that negativity out there into the universe and you're getting that negativity back. So start looking at the positives, start doing positive things. Like I've started taking what I want, I've started picking up rubbish when I'm out because I don't think it's good. I think it's horrible, and it's not taken like I don't want anything back. I just that's the type of person that I am now, that I would rather our spaces be nice and clean. I want to take a couple of black bin liners with me as well when I'm going out solo camping, so that I can pick up rubbish along the way and I can get that put away, because it's absolutely disgusting. We really need to be start looking after our beautiful countryside and just our beautiful country, basically. So I've started doing that, and it's not because I want anything in return. It's just because that's how I feel now, that I should be doing that. The law of compensation. The law of compensation relates closer to the law of attraction, and the law of correspondence. You reap what you sow is the main takeaway, with the law stating your efforts will always come back to you positively. If you are seeking something, you must contribute in some way towards your goal. To work with this law in a manner that attracts or compensates for love and support, for example, Kaiser suggests asking yourself, where am I being called to serve and support others today? Number 9, the law of relativity. This law suggests that we are inclined to compare things in our world, but in reality, everything is neutral. So relativism exists in all things, and in the end, meaning comes down to our perspective and perception. Applying this law can help us understand the tougher parts of our lives with greater compassion. For example, if we are feeling ungrateful for our living situation, it could be because we are comparing our arrangements with someone else. Instead, we'd be better off appreciating what we have without needing to compare it to something else. Now, I've spoken about this where you have a look at other people's Facebook pages or their Instagram pages or their TikTok or whatever, and you look at them and you compare yourself to them. That's why I think that this whole Love Island and all that kind of stuff as well is just so bad for everybody who watches it, because you are comparing yourself to those people who are going on those shows, and it's so negative as well, you know, like all the bitching and the hate and the cheating, and like, why would you want to watch that? Like, why would you want that negativity in your life? So yeah, kind of like, let's stop comparing ourselves. The only person that you need to be better than is the person that you were yesterday. And if you're better than the person that you were yesterday, then you are achieving great things. That is the only person who you should be comparing yourself to. Don't be comparing it to your neighbors or, you know, like your friends or the people that you're seeing on Facebook or celebrities or magazine people that you're seeing in magazines and newspapers, and because it's all fake. It is all there to make you feel bad about yourself so that you go out and buy products that make you, you know, like that they're telling you'll make you feel better and make you feel beautiful. And the one that I continuously go back to is Lynx. Because when I was a kid, you would buy Lynx and you'd be like, yes, I'm getting Lynx, so that means that I'll be attractive to the opposite sex. And it didn't really happen. Yeah, alright, women might have liked the smell, but you weren't all of a sudden a sex god with women hanging off you like the adverts used to say. But we all guys fall for that. I think I still know guys now who are still wearing Lynx Africa and all that kind of stuff because they're still believing what the advert's telling them. But if we all felt good about ourselves, then they wouldn't be able to sell us these kind of products, because you'd be looking at it being like, well, that's a whole dose of shite. I'll just buy a bar of soap that's gonna get me clean. So stop comparing yourself to other people. You are amazing the way that you are. We're all amazing the way that we are. And if you don't think that, then the only person who can change it is you. Start doing the things that you don't want to do. Start, you know, like challenging yourself. Because our brains, our brains go into comfort mode. And they don't want us to be doing things that are uncomfortable. They don't want us going out for a 5K run. They don't want us to be going into a cold shower. They want us to stay comfortable and feeling bad about yourself. And that's our own minds that's wanting to do that. So you need to start showing to your mind that I am not that person. I am the kind of person who keeps the promises to myself. And as I've probably said loads of times on this podcast, that when I first started running, my mind was constantly battling me, being like, no, you need to stop, you need to stop, like, this is too far, like, or something bad's happening, and then you would just be like, shut up, mind, and you would keep on pushing. And now when I run, my mind doesn't do that anymore. It's just like, right, come on, like, we've still got this, you can do it, and you keep on pushing. So if I can do it, then you can do it. So stop living in that fear of the unknown, because the only person who can change it is you. Stop waiting for the knight in shining armor to burst through your door and give you your best life. You need to work on it. And once you start working on it, you'll realize how amazing it actually is. I believe in you. The world believes in you. You just need to start believing in yourself. Start believing in yourself and watch the amazingness happen. It's not gonna happen overnight either. You've got to have that in your head that this really isn't gonna help. It's not gonna happen overnight. It's gonna take months, months and months and months of hard work. But as I've said before as well, is make them into a habit, because once it then becomes a habit, then it becomes so much easier. And I think that's why I found it difficult with my ankle being absolutely messed up at the moment, where I can barely walk, because the running is my habit now. That is what I do to make myself feel better. Or I come onto this podcast and just rant a bunch of shite. But yeah, it's like my therapy. But yeah, the running is definitely my habit now. So when something bad happens, then that's what I want to go and do. So you need to start training yourself to that your habits need to be good, not something bad. Like, not if you've had a bad day, then you want to sit there and binge Netflix and eat popcorn and eat ice cream and everything like that, because that isn't good for you. So start making your habits good for you, that you're gonna be able to go away and work on them when something bad happens. Because I've definitely noticed it myself, if something bad happens, then I'd now physically do, like, I'd now just be like, right, I will go out for a run. And I use all that pent up anger that I've got in the run, and I push myself, and I normally get my fastest time when something's really annoyed me. But you can do that as well. Like, look at the type of person that I was before. I would have never have thought that I could do this. I would have never have thought that I could have lost 10 stone from the person that I was. I always thought that my back was just gonna kind of like hold me back, and I wasn't gonna be able to do things. But now I've changed my mindset to being, I can achieve these goals. I can achieve these things. And I've showed my brain now that I'm no pushover. You're not gonna stop me from doing the things that you don't want to do. So stop comparing yourself to other people, please. Just compare yourself to who you were yesterday, and you'll get on a lot better. So number 10 is the law of polarity. Oh my God. Polarity. This law says that everything in our life has an opposite, good and evil, love and fear, warmth and cold, yin and yang. We all know. The key is understanding these are all two sides of the same coin. Kaiser works with this law through the mantra, all contrast brings more clarity. If you are facing a difficult situation like a breakup or a health challenge, for example, tune into what the opposite looks like, which can reveal a new perspective or lesson. So if you're having a bad time right now, just know that that'll pass, and good times will come. And then bad times will come again, and then good times will come. But the way that you look at it, that there is no good or bad, it's just the situation. And how you deal with that situation is what is going to build you as a person. So, the law of rhythm, number 11. So, cycles are a natural part of the universe. Physically, you can think about the seasons on Earth. In our own lives, we can remember what. Integration is just as important as growth. Kumar notes, we expect ourselves to be one way all the time, whether we're thinking about our health or even productivity, but this is not sustainable. Take note of your inner rhythm and try to work with them instead of fighting them. Feeling run down, maybe it's better to give yourself some rest instead of powering through. And I think that I've used that one because I felt my body after eating meat, or when I'd done that 7-day challenge of not eating the meat, I definitely noticed that my body felt better. So I tried to stay away from the meat. I'm not full vegetarian. I don't think I ever will be full vegetarian, but I eat definitely a lot more vegetarian meals nowadays because I know what it does for my body. I know that it makes me feel better. And yeah, but I mean, I still eat meat on the odd occasion. It's just I don't eat it all the time now because the next day I don't feel so great. I feel very lethargic and run down, and I found it difficult with the running after eating meat. So I try and stick more to the vegetarian kind of food now. But yeah, I'm not a vegetarian. I just enjoy the way that my body feels a lot better with eating vegetarian stuff. So, and lastly, the law of gender. The law of gender has to do with the masculine and feminine energy that exist in all things. Kaiser notes that much of our society has historically operated from a masculine hustle and do mentality, which doesn't allow for much room to be, enough room to just be. Achieving your own balance between masculine and feminine energies can help you live more authentically. So there you go. You have it, the 12 laws, universal laws. Before you get too overwhelmed, integrating them into your life is more about understanding and conceptualizing them in a way that makes sense to you. Kumar notes it doesn't have to be so analytical. Understanding the concept and keep it on the back burner in your mind, she says, to learn how to work with them in day-to-day scenarios. Now that you've been introduced to these laws, chances they'll come up in your life again and again. So let's start trying to use the laws in your life. And it is very, very difficult because I've been trying to live by these laws for some time as well, when and yeah, it's been very, very tough. But again, I've just started my spiritual journey after, like, well, I can't even remember, like half a year, possibly, maybe longer. But I'm just hoping that you keep on learning about these type of stuff. You keep on trying to implement it into your life. And I think I've said before where it's you're creating new neurological paths in your brain. So your brain is, it's like walking down a cornfield, where when you start walking down a new path in a cornfield, it's going to be difficult because you've never walked down that path before. But the more that you keep on walking down it, you're always going to try and go back to the easier paths as well, because they're easier to walk down. But you just need to keep on going back into the new paths and walking down them. And at the end of the day, then it's gonna become a hell of a lot easier for you, because the paths are gonna start getting more and more open, so that because you're constantly walking down there. Easier said than done, I know, because we've been constantly trained and like our brains, the neurological paths that we've been down our whole entire life. You know, like I'm 34, so that's been 33 years and a half of my life that I've been walking down those paths. So it is going to be difficult for me to try and change those paths, but I am really, really trying not to be the same person that I was before. And I've noticed a massive difference in me. My family's noticed a massive difference in me. The people who I used to call friends have noticed a massive difference in me, because they don't speak to me anymore. Because I'm not the same person that I was before. I'm not the same pushover that I was before. So their need for me in their life is not, it's not there anymore, because I'm not the pushover that I used to be, and they can feel good about themselves. So, but that's fine. I'm quite happy being a loner. I quite enjoy my own company now, whereas before I really hated it. But then that's it. The universe is starting to bring the people that I'm wanting into my life, in my life, like-minded people. And there's beautiful things happening, beautiful, beautiful things happening. New people are coming into my life, and yeah, it feels absolutely amazing that these people are now coming into my life, that there's like a more moral connection there. like a new woman has came into my life that is absolutely amazing, and yeah, I've never experienced that kind of joy, to be quite honest, in my whole entire life, and it's all because I've changed the way that I look at life now. So before, when I was looking at it all doom and gloom, then I was getting doom and gloom. I was getting the people who I was constantly arguing with, and people who didn't really get me as a person, and we didn't really connect properly, and then you were just staying in relationships that didn't have a meaning to you. And well, I know that I was staying in relationships that didn't really, and you were just getting mad, and then I was doing things to get away from the reality, basically. But now that I've changed everything, like it's completely stripped me. Like I no longer smoke, and like I was addicted to fags, and then I was addicted to the e-cigarette, and now I've completely changed that. Completely changed it. So you can too. You just need to work hard on it. And I'm not saying that I haven't worked hard on it, because it's been bloody difficult, really difficult, doing the things that I've done. The hours of shadow work of crying in my van and not really knowing who I was at the end, and finding out who I actually was. And yeah, it was difficult, very, very difficult. So I'm not saying that this spiritual journey is easy. I've shed a lot of tears. I've been into the back of my mind, and yeah, kind of like, well, the old me basically died, and I shed all the tears there for that old person that I was, and this new person arrived, and I love the new person that I am today. I'm so much happier with my life. I'm so much happier with everything that is happening, and yeah, you can have this too. Just keep on pushing. I believe in you. You need to believe in yourself. And stop looking for outside validation. Get the validation from yourself, because that's the only validation that you need. And again, if it makes you feel good and if it makes you happy, then it doesn't need to make sense to anybody else. But remember, love big. Be happy, appreciate the small things, be thankful for what you already have, and stop focusing on what you don't have. Remember, the aim of the game is to find happiness from within. Again, thank you very much for listening. I hope that my opinion hasn't pissed you guys all off, and I will do some more research, and we'll speak about this FBI vault soon, once I've done the proper research before I go spouting my mouth again. But yes, thank you very much. I will be talking to you soon. Ciao.